Divided Kingdom radio program. It's May 11th, and we're continuing part two of The Divided Kingdom, Satan's World versus God's World. During the last week, we saw candidate Macron take the reins of French power at the Louvre. Behind him stood a black Illuminati pyramid with a red all-seeing NWO eye. Macron, former Rothschild Bank employee, came out to the strains not of the French national anthem, but of the EU anthem. The great François Mitterrand came up with a Louvre design that included 666 panes of pink glass. Reports are that channeling spirits were involved in the Louvre design, and a dedication of Paris, interestingly named the City of Light, to Lucifer. Lucifer, the light bearer. Europe's churches have closed and largely disappeared during the last decades. And so there was little spiritual protection against the massive takedown of European life and culture in the last few years by Islam and the NWO. Pictures show Macron bowing down to Angela Merkel. But in America, as the war between Satan and Jesus' remnant continues, some very heartening developments include 1. President Trump's decision, decisive move in getting rid of James Comey of the FBI. This was at the recommendation of Deputy Attorney General Rod Rosenstein, that great former Maryland prosecutor. Now, according to many, second in FBI command, Andrew McCabe, needs to go too. His wife raised $600,000 for Hillary's campaign. 2. Senator Bob Corker, head of the Senate Foreign Relations Committee, has come out backing the Trump's administration's plans to arm the Kurds. He says it doesn't matter what Turkey thinks.
And this is Elizabeth Cumbert-Caverly. Yes, Lou, Turkey's Erdogan, the leader who is the modern facsimile of a young Turk, he will be trying to engineer more Islamic immigrants going into Europe than ever so that his envisioned Ottoman Empire reborn can happen. And as candidate Marine Le Pen said, Europe will be ruled by a woman. If not by her, she said it would be by Angela Merkel. And there were pictures of Macron bowing to Angela Merkel. Equivalent to the clandestine darkness of Satan's world, suggested by the Louvre Pyramid and renewed rumors of political connections to the worldwide pedophilia ring, just so, here in America, Roger Stone, key political analyst to Nixon, Reagan, and Trump, reports that while Secretary of State Rex Tillerson is out of the country, neocons at the second level of the State Department are holding nefarious planning sessions in secret. That would be former Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. Amazing. President Trump, more firings are needed. A discussion on InfoWars Wednesday, May 10th, with Alex Jones and Mike Cernovich, centered on the role of General Petraeus taking charge of the National Security Council with General McMaster. So we, the people, we really want to make this statement that we will not tolerate boots on the ground in Afghanistan and Syria. We elected Trump to assure us of no more illegal Middle East quagmires. Roger Stone also reports that there are people maybe like Rance Priebus surrounding the president who are stonewalling, getting any names sent for the State Department 119 positions that remain vacant. You see, this is even as the Obama fixtures continue their assault on sovereignty there. So this is very important, and as Lou pointed out, one of the next figures to go might be Andrew McCabe, second at the FBI. It's very important that we weed out the corruption and we weed out the people who have a different world view from those Americans who love America. Well, what else is happening? This is all going on, you see. While there are certain crazed politicians who are threatening to jail and imprison and everything else, climate deniers. Well, these climate deniers, I guess, are most of the people who have read the book Dark Winter of Dr. John Casey and the Sun Cycles, because humorously, this global warming conference, listeners, that was going to be in Denver had to be canceled recently because hundreds of cows were lost in a southeast blizzard that was in Colorado. And also, we heard that after the floodings around St. Louis, there was a very freak snowstorm on the plains. And as we've told you before on this program, Lou and I have been watching the weather here in Maryland for decades. And again, it seems to be like the last 2 years, which were totally atypical. We had one unseasonably warm spell for a few days, and now we have gone back into what would seem to be March weather instead of May, even with some of the winds and the, you know, all of that. So now, tonight, we said that we are continuing this look at the divided kingdom. It's partly ruled by Satan, and it's stood up against that part. Is stood up against by the Christian remnant, and that is all of you out there. So we're going to look at the good that's inspired by Christian men and women of action and the fearsome judgment ringing apathy and heresy of some of the churches, as well as some of these satanic attacks that are continuing. But it is getting to such a point that even some of the people who are usually writing in favor of the Democrats are beginning to wonder what is going on, or really what is going on with Obama. And actually, we had Dr. Jerome Corsi, and he was reporting at WorldNet Daily and on InfoWars that the news that was, you know, first given there was now given by Steven Mnuchin, this Treasury Secretary, to Fox Business Channel, that the Obama administration really did swindle as much as $300 million or more out of Fannie Mae and Freddie Mac to pay into Obamacare. And we may have misspoken when we said we were worried about Trump's real steadfast quality, that he was sort of calling for WikiLeaks founder Julian Assange to be prosecuted, but I don't believe that he made any remark like that. But Mike Pompeo, the head of the CIA, did make some remark about Assange, so we wanted to really clear that up. Now, columnist Gene Lyons is usually rabidly left. So when I say that some of these things now about Obama are beginning to even affect some of the Democrats, here we have it. Wednesday, May 10th, 2017, Gene Lyons' column says, Obama sends wrong signal. And here's a little excerpt. Never mind my misgivings about Senator Bernie Sanders. When Bernie's right, he's right. He and fellow New England Puritan Senator Elizabeth Warren are certainly correct about the dreadful optics of former President Barack Obama's decision to accept a $400,000 fee for a one-hour speech to a Wall Street bank. Bernie thinks it's, quote, unfortunate, while Warren pronounced herself, quote, troubled. Actually, it's worse than that. Granted, the investment firm Cantor Fitzgerald wasn't among the major malefactors in the 2008 financial system collapse, and that it's a health care conference that Obama will be addressing. Given Republican attempts to repeal the Affordable Care Act, I'm confident he'll have something interesting to say. But ordinary voters aren't going to hear it. What's more easily noticed is the conjunction of Wall Street and $400,000. Many will be tempted to think pretty much what they thought when Hillary Clinton accepted similarly preposterous speaking fees from Goldman Sachs before setting up to run for president as a working family's friend. Then he goes into a lot of laudatory paragraphs about the great humanitarian qualities of the Clinton, which I shall skip, just too nauseating to read on air. But then he says, given their international celebrity and the fact that both Obamas had already written highly successful books, publishers competed to sign them. Ultimately, these are market decisions paid for by the ticket and book-buying public. You can read Obama's presidential memoirs or not. It's entirely your call. But with the Democratic Party struggling to redeem itself in the wake of Hillary Clinton's loss, Obama's Wall Street payday sends exactly the wrong signal at a very bad time. The Washington Post's Greg Sargent writes about focus groups put together by a Democratic-oriented polling firm called Priorities USA. Researchers talked to two kinds of voters, those who switched from Obama in 2012 to Trump in 2016, and those who switched from Obama to did not vote. Skepticism about the Democratic Party, Sargent writes, was echoed rather forcefully in the focus groups that I watched. In one, Obama-Trump voters were asked what Democrats stand for today and gave answers such as these, the 1%, the status quo. They're for the party, themselves and the party. One woman asked whether the Democratic Party is for people like her, flatly declared, nope. Shockingly, twice as many respondents said Democrats' policies favor the rich as said that about Trump and the Republicans. It appears, now, listen to this sentence. It appears that Trump's relentless vulgarity protects him against the Scrooge McDuck aspects of his personality. He may be a jerk, but such voters don't think he's a snob. About Wall Street Democrats, they're not so sure. No, Gene Lyons, could it be that what you see as Trump's relentless vulgarity, most Americans now see as fairness and decency, even as profits rise and joblessness goes down? We are much heartened about President Trump, for as Alex Jones said, we need to get down on our knees and thank Almighty God for this, this reprieve. I mean, it's unthinkable that any other presidential candidate would have gotten rid of the Trans-Pacific Partnership, which would have really, really put us under the thumb of global government at far advanced down the road. And the fact that jobs are being created, a lot of good is happening, and we must recognize that, and we must be very careful. Satan has some broadcasters, and perhaps some of them are working for Operation Mockingbird. We don't really know. But the ones who are always saying America with the K in it and America is gone, no, God didn't give us a spirit of fear. God told us that we are to claim victory in his name. And Lou and I see that the longer we live, as long as we keep Jesus in our hearts and we don't harbor hatred toward anyone, he shows us what he wants. He guides us. He gives us the money we need to stay on the air, but we do need some help. And we do thank the kindness of WWCR for a little help through July. And that was not requested by us. So you see, the Lord touched some hearts. There was a little discount for us. But if you would like to help us, you can't write a check to us personally, but you could send a money order for any amount, and you could write a check written to WWCR, and you could write to Lou, L-O-U, Caverly, C-A-V-E-R-L-Y, P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, Maryland, 21609. And again, that's P.O. Box 28, Bethlehem, capital B-E-T-H-L-E-H-E-M, Maryland, 21609. And we do appreciate the letters. We've been getting some very interesting letters. And there may be a few of you who think we're never going to write back, but we will. We had 8 weeks of pneumonia, and that was pretty tough. And Lou has a bad back. But again, another listener wrote a tip that we think is really going to help Lou very, very much. So you see, when we turn our lives over to Jesus Christ and we do his bidding, we make him first, he gives us all the other things that we need, and our lives are better than ever. Well, let's find out what Trump has done for the churches, Lou.
Trump gives churches their voice back with approval to take part in partisan politics. Washington Times, by Dan Boyer, May 4th, 2017. Amid prayers and Christian music in the White House Rose Garden, President Trump signed an executive order Thursday to make it easier for churches to engage in partisan politics and plan to protect faith-based groups from being forced to pay for abortion services under Obamacare. Mr. Trump stated, quote, "We are giving our churches their voices back." He told religious and conservative leaders on the National Day of Prayer, "We will not allow people of faith to be targeted, bullied, or silenced anymore." Mr. Trump signed the order directing the IRS not to take, quote, "adverse action," unquote, against the tax-exempt status of churches and other religious organizations who engage in political speech. His action undermines the 1954 Johnson Amendment, which has barred charitable groups, including churches, from overtly endorsing or opposing political candidates. The president also directed the Treasury, Labor, and Health and Human Services departments to consider changes to Obamacare's mandate for employers to provide contraceptive services in health care plans. While some conservatives said the order doesn't go far enough to protect religious liberty, most conservatives praised the president's move as a long overdue step. Said Family Research Council President Tony Perkins, quote, "The open season on Christians and other people of faith is coming to a close in America, and we look forward to assisting the Trump administration in fully restoring America's first freedom," unquote. Liberal groups and progressives slammed Mr. Trump's order as pandering to evangelicals and warned that the action would lead to more anonymous political donations and an erosion of health services for women. The ACLU threatened to sue to block the order from taking effect, but later backed off that threat, calling the order a meaningless photo op that wouldn't change policies. Common Cause President Karen Hobart Flynn said the president's order, quote, "is just an expansion of the disastrous Supreme Court Citizens United decision, which opened the floodgates of secret money into our elections, taking the buying of influence from elected officials into the shadows and away from public view." She went on to say, quote, "by funneling their political spending through charities and religious groups, big money donors will also get a tax deduction, forcing other taxpayers to foot the bill for the subsidized political activity," unquote. Mr. Trump said he was following through on a campaign promise after hearing frequent complaints from faith leaders about the prohibition against politics in the pulpit, and that that was an unlawful curb on their rights of free speech and religious expression. The Johnson Amendment is actually a law which was championed by Democratic Senator Lyndon B. Johnson of Texas when he ran for re-election. His target was not a church, but a conservative nonprofit that advocated for the election of his opponent. Johnson, then Senate Minority Leader, introduced an amendment to Section 501c3 of the Federal Tax Code on tax-exempt charitable organizations, specifying that they couldn't be involved in partisan politics. The measure wasn't considered controversial in Congress. There is no record of any debate. While conservatives and evangelical leaders have been pushing for a repeal of the law, the president cited the example of black churches working for social and political change from the pulpit, and raised the IRS targeting of the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. for audit in the early 1960s. The president said, quote, "perhaps there is no greater example than the historic role of the African American church as the agent for social progress, spurring our nation to greater justice and equality. We must never infringe on the noble tradition of change from the church and progress from the pew," unquote. The directive also is aimed at allowing nonprofit organizations, such as the Little Sisters of the Poor, who have waged a court battle against Obamacare's mandate, to deny contraceptive coverage for religious reasons. Health and Human Services Secretary Tom Price said his agency will use the order to, quote unquote, "re-examine Obamacare's mandate on contraceptive services." Mr. Price said, quote, "we will be taking action in short order to follow the president's instruction to safeguard the deeply held religious beliefs of Americans who provide health insurance to their employees," unquote. As Mr. Trump spoke about the Little Sisters case, he even invited some of the nuns in the audience to join him on the stage. president told the nuns, quote, your ordeal will soon be over, unquote. When one of the sisters told Mr. Trump the court case had been going on for 5 years, the president asked her, you had good lawyers? Where are your lawyers? The president asked, scanning the audience. Stand up. Come on, stand up. Do you mind if I use your lawyers? Good job. He added, quote, with this executive order, we are ending the attacks on your religious liberty, unquote. The Affordable Care Act requires insurance plans to cover contraceptives at no cost to patients. After the Supreme Court ruled that the mandate violated the Religious Freedom Restoration Act, the government created an accommodation for closely held for-profit businesses that have a religious objection, which involves filling out a form to arrange for a third party to provide coverage instead. But the Little Sisters and several other religious groups say the accommodation still forces them to be complicit in providing people with contraception against their religious beliefs. The president devoted most of his comments to ending the restrictions of the Johnson Amendment, saying he was halting, quote, a financial threat against the faith community. No one should be censoring sermons or targeting pastors, the president said, to thunderous applause from the audience of religious and conservative leaders, including Dr. Franklin Graham. The president furthermore said, quote, in America, we do not fear people speaking freely from the pulpit. We embrace it, unquote. The event in the Rose Garden began with a service, or rather a series of interfaith prayers and a guitar performance by Stephen Curtis Chapman, a Christian music singer and social activist who thanked Mr. Trump and sang two songs, including an acoustic version of the Lord's Prayer.
And the background of this, of course, the 501c3 church is like a corporation, and we used to have a book on it, and we read quite a bit about it, and recently a listener took the time and the money involved to send us about 25 pages on, quote, the devil's church, and it opens with, a 501c3 corporation is a nonprofit organization that gains a tax-exempt status under Section 501c in the U.S. Internal Revenue, IRS Code 26USC, number 501c. And many types of clubs and groups are eligible for this, it says. Now, the interesting part is we go to Scripture, and it's apparent that God spoke about some things like this. And here's the first one. But he that is an hireling and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming and leaveth the sheep and fleeth, and the wolf catcheth them and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth because he is an hireling and careth not for the sheep. That's John 10, verses 12 and 13. There are other scriptures, too. Be ye not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And there's more there in 2 Corinthians 6, 14 to 18. Yes, God has his kingdom to be set apart from the secular ones. Matthew 6:24 says, no man can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. Ye cannot serve God and mammon. That is so important when we're talking about the contrast in the divided kingdom. The hearts of the American people are divided, but they may not be quite as set in stone as those hearts in Europe with those closed churches and with the people in France and the people in Sweden more or less acquiescing to this terrible Islamic invasion, the changes of their Christian, once Christian culture. It's very, very upsetting. So we find that it is very heartening here to have President Trump meeting with a lot of the leaders who helped to elect him. And we really do admire Franklin Graham for his steadfast work with that caravan during the campaign all over America, Decision America, with all of the people going there and repenting and praying. I have no doubt that is one of the key things that Almighty God looked at when he spared the judgment from continuing, the judgment that began here September 11th, 2001. We'll never forget it. The face of Satan gloating in the smoke. We saw it, we know, but God has given us a reprieve. And there was something much more ominous with this 501c3. If we had Hillary Clinton in, for instance, we have a little section that was earmarked here by the kind listener who sent us this material. The clergy response teams are further evidence of the church's kneeling before the state. Quote, a large church organization has refused to divulge how many of its pastors are on the FEMA payroll after a member expressed concerns about religious leaders being used to condition their congregation to accept the declaration of martial law. Concerned about such developments, a member of the California-based Worldwide Church of God, an organization that boasts 64,000 members in 860 congregations in about 90 countries, asked if any of the church's pastors were involved in the FEMA program. Quote, the head office quickly replied hastily within an hour by telling me, sorry, that is privileged information, the man states. The reply was in big, bold script like I've never seen before in emails, and that came from Paul Joseph Watson, writer for InfoWars, and that was February 2nd, 2009. Church organization refuses to divulge if pastors are on FEMA payroll. And the role, you see, of a FEMA pastor, the guidelines were to comfort the people, keep them compliant while the military police steals their family, friends, and neighbors from their homes. That's the drastic scenario. That will be the ultimate end of the conflict between Satan and God here in America if the Christians do not keep standing up. There's another thing here that makes us think that we'd rather be in a church that is not a 501c3 after this wonderful executive order of Trump, because you see there's some strange bedfellows. God said we were to keep ourselves separate. We were not to be with Belial, but we have a lot of big ministries who are 501c3 in their designation. But at the same time, we see the list of some other organizations that are 501c3s. The First Church of Satan, Planned Parenthood. Did you hear that? Gay and Lesbian Advocates and Defenders, Touchstone Local Council Covenant of the Goddess. We'd have to wonder if there's a connection there between Touchstone Energy Companies and this Touchstone Local Council Covenant of the Goddess. This might go back to a lot of the Rockefeller plans. The New World Order will have a new world religion, we see. The Secular Web, that's an anti-God organization. U.S. Conference of Catholic Bishops. Q Cinema, Gay and Lesbian International Film Festival. The Witch's Voice. Church of Scientology, Satanist Cult of Cthulhu. I really cannot pronounce that. It's capital C-T-H-U-L-H-U. American Atheists, Mormon Church of Latter-day Saints, Pagan Druids of Cedar Light Grove, Islamic Society of Corona Norco. That gives you a little bit of an insight into the spiritual components and the camaraderie of the 501c3 coterie. It's one that I don't want to be a part of. I don't think you do either. Now, because we are bringing to you some of the people who are taking the brave stand against Satan's kingdom. Here's another one, Lou. General Mattis, Secretary of Defense, he got an earful. This is called Mattis Gets Earful About Lesbian Nominita Academic Post, WND, World Net Daily, by Bob Unruh. This was April the 1st.
Secretary of Defense Jim Mattis, in addition to the job he has cleaning up the U.S. military following 8 years of neglect under Barack Obama, is having to deal with the aftermath of all the social experiments Obama launched on the military. including sexual lifestyle choices by those in military leadership who, quote, break trust with the millions of Christians who voted for the new president in the hope that the ungodly policies of the previous administration would be repudiated, unquote. The challenge comes in a letter from Kayla Moore, the chief of the Foundation for Moral Law and the wife of embattled Alabama Supreme Court Justice, or Supreme Court Chief, Justice Roy Moore. The organization works to restore the knowledge of God in the law and government and to, quote, acknowledge and defend the truth that man is endowed with rights not by a fellow man, but by God, unquote. It uses both litigation and education outreaches. Moore's letter cites the problem of the nomination of Kristen Goodwin to be chief of cadets at the Air Force Academy. Explain Moore, quote, on March 14th, you announced that Colonel Goodwin had been nominated for appointment to the rank of Brigadier General, a necessary prelude to her appointment as Commandant, unquote. And it continues, quote, I oppose this nomination because Colonel Goodwin does not set a proper moral example for youth. The person responsible for the education of cadets at the academy is a role model and an exemplar of proper deportment and conduct. Colonel Goodwin is a lesbian who is, quote unquote, married to another woman, not only demeans the institution of marriage, but contradicts the divine basis for marriage revealed in Scripture and evident in nature, she wrote. The letter explained the biblical perspective of marriage between a man and a woman. Quote, because homosexual relationships are unnatural, they are incompatible with the basic structure of civil society and the historic antecedents of military order and discipline, Moore wrote. She continued, quote, by nominating an open lesbian who proclaims that she is married to another woman, the Department of Defense states its disregard for the fundamental moral order established by God, thus breaking trust with the millions of Christians who voted for the new president and hope that the ungodly policies of the previous administration would be repudiated. She continues, it was as recent as 2011, she pointed out, that homosexual activity in the military was proscribed by federal law, which said then, quote, the presence in the armed forces of persons who demonstrate a propensity or intend to engage in homosexual acts would create an unacceptable risk to the high standards of morale, good order and discipline, and unit cohesion that are the essence of military capability, unquote. But Obama's work to change that has resulted in situations now that include not only Goodwin's presence in the military, but her nomination to the Academy post. Many of the ramifications from Obama's influence in the U.S. military have yet to develop. Moore noted that her husband graduated from West Point, and the group's senior counsel, John Eidsmore, is a retired Air Force Lieutenant Colonel. Kayla Moore wrote, quote, they, too, are disheartened to see responsible officials apparently following the policies of Presidents Bill Clinton and Barack Obama, who pushed the homosexual agenda on our military to its detriment.
So important that we pray for people like Judge Roy Moore and his wife and others who are telling the truth, who are standing in this evil society. Then we had, on the other side, Todd Starnes in February had an article, Atheist Forces School to Drop Ten Commandments. A Pennsylvania school district capitulated to the demands of a militant atheist who filed a federal lawsuit demanding the district remove a Ten Commandments monument erected on a public high school campus. The Kensington Arnold School District agreed to remove the massive monument within 30 days, ending a lawsuit filed in 2012 by self-avowed atheist Marie Schaub. Schaub claimed the 6-foot stone monument erected outside Valley High School was a religious symbol and therefore was a violation of the U.S. Constitution. It's unfortunate that many people in my community don't understand or appreciate the separation of church and state, but I hope this settlement serves as an important lesson, she told the Valley News Dispatch. Schaub also claimed the monument was offensive to her and her daughter. I can only imagine which commandment she found to be most offensive. Maybe it was the one about graven images. Anyway, the school district must also pay $164,000 in legal fees. We're very pleased, Freedom from Religion Foundation attorney Patrick Elliott told the Valley News Dispatch, it means that the Constitution is being followed by the school district. The Freedom from Religious Foundation is a group of perpetually offended atheists, agnostics, and self-professed free thinkers based in Wisconsin. They intentionally bully and intimidate small towns and communities in their quest to eradicate Christianity from the public marketplace. They are truly an unpleasant bunch of people, folks. School Superintendent John Pallone told the local newspaper they agreed to settle the lawsuit in order to take the high road. We compromised and agreed to remove the monument, he said. That's hardly a compromise. It's more like appeasement. And again, this is Todd Starnes writing. The superintendent went on to tell the newspaper he believed the district had a winnable case. We're in a position where we just can't continue to fight this distraction, he said. How infuriating. The school district had an opportunity to demonstrate to children how to defend our rights under the Constitution. Instead, they chose to throw in a towel for the sake of expedience. And in doing so, the school district violated an 11th commandment, thou shalt not tuck a tail and run. Well, very important that we see what the results are of apathy and indifference. Would you like to be living in France? You may be, maybe in 10 or 15 years, if Americans and American pastors don't change. The pastoral slide into compromise, we may have presented this once before, but it was David Cloud from Way of Life. Compromise of the truth does not happen at once. It is incremental. In the case of a pastor, it can be witnessed in his preaching as he gradually tones down his reproof of sin and error. The Bible says the preacher is to reprove, rebuke, exhort. That's 2 Timothy 4:2. To rebuke with all authority, Titus 2:15. And to reprove the unfruitful works of darkness, Ephesians 5:11. He is to preach the whole counsel of God, Acts 20:27. This requires plain speaking and warning of sin and error, but the compromising preacher is more concerned with not offending man than being faithful to God, so he gradually tones down his reproof to suit the sentiments of the people. Over the past 20 years, we have seen the toning down of reproof pertaining to immodest and unisex fashions, tattoos, carnal music, self-esteem, psychology, evangelical compromise, and a host of other things, even clear warnings about hell are becoming rare. Lou, we talked the last time about the bill going through Congress to fund everything, and our hearts were broken that Planned Parenthood was not defunded. If that isn't the slide into compromise, I don't know what is. What do you think now, what you think you've heard, what the status of that bill is?
Well, to the best of my knowledge, it was a bill to fund the government and to keep things going for another few months. I think it is good until sometime in the fall. I'll have to check on that. But it was a compromise. In order to get the votes, they simply gave in and accepted the Democrats that wanted Planned Parenthood funded. They didn't put up any sizable fight at all. Let's hope they do next time around.
Because judgment is impending, and we think this is one of the key issues to our Lord and Savior, the killing of the babies. It certainly was to Jehovah in the Old Testament. The people who went up and worshiped in the groves and threw their babies into the fire. It's still happening. It's still happening. And we are now going to go to Dan and Donna Holman. They have a lot to say in their February, March, April, I believe we have May also, newsletters. Lou, in February, they were talking about attending an Operation Save America leadership conference. And they're talking here again about how easily people can slip into sin with associated activities like strip clubs and things like this, pornography. I think it's instructive to all of us to hear this. And again, if you would like to tell others about this program, let them know that we are now on Liberty Works Radio Network, LWRN.net, and they can hear us there. They can hear us on a smartphone, I believe, or on an Android, on Mondays, 5 p.m. Eastern Time, repeating at 11 p.m. And later in the week, they can hear a program from our archives there. We also can be heard, of course, on Worldwide Shortwave, WWCR, at 8 p.m. Eastern Time, Thursday evenings. That's WWCR on 4.840 Shortwave. And now, Lou, Missionaries to the Preborn. This is Dan and Donna Holman. If you would like to reach them, their P.O. Box is 135 Keokuk, capital K-E-O-K-U-K, Iowa, and the zip is 52632. And their phone number is 319-524-5587. Again, that's 319-524-5587.
Dear friends, we are attending an Operation Save America Leadership Conference in Louisville, Kentucky, February 2nd through 5th, 2017. Kentucky is the latest state to be added to OSA's States of Refuge list. States of Refuge is a spearhead attack on the child murdering industry. Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, and Arkansas had but one last remaining surgical death pit where children are routinely sacrificed to the god of pleasure. We are working with OSA in creating an abortion-free state. Once one state falls, we should gather momentum to make two, three, and more states of refuge. Over the 45th anniversary of Roe v. Wade, we learned of the closing down of Kanawha Surgery Center, one of two abortion clinics in West Virginia. West Virginia has become a candidate for OSA's States of Refuge campaign. We will be stopping in Columbus, Ohio, on our way to Louisville for depositions in a civil freedom of access to clinics entrances of face case against the Foxhole Strip Club. Donna and I are co-plaintiffs with others from New Beginnings Church in Warsaw, Ohio. Pastor Bill Dunphy and others from New Beginnings have been ministering at the Foxhole for the past 10 years. New Beginnings ministers at the Foxhole every night that it is open. The presence of Christian ministers has had a significant financial impact on the Foxhole. The owner of the strip club, Tommy George, decided to picket New Beginnings Church with topless strippers. These protests have intimidated children and others. Attendance at New Beginnings declined. Tarps had to be erected to shield attendees from nude and profane exhibitions from Foxhole defendants. Local authorities' refusal to intervene heightened the antics of the strippers and emboldened others to join with the strippers. Access to the church was blocked by protesters standing in the street. The FACE Act prohibits blockades and using fear and intimidation tactics at both abortion clinics and at churches. The dual purpose of FACE was a political concession to get it signed into law. New Beginnings is only the second known church to file a FACE lawsuit since FACE was signed into law. We expect our depositions to be grueling. They may last up to 5 hours and include a wide range of intrusive questions. One question we might expect is whether we ever viewed pornography. It is impossible not to have seen pornography in this day and age. We also see the damage strip clubs and pornography do to individuals and families. One Christian couple we know began to frequent a local strip club. The husband molested his daughter, which ended the couple's marriage. The wife has custody of their children. She is committing serial adultery involving both men and women. The couple's children are exposed to these vile behaviors and are being led into gross sin. The father has been criminally repented of his sin, yet his reputation is forever lost. Never again can he have a paternal relationship with his children. Both parents had strong Christian upbringing. The mother is no longer the sweet woman she once was. The ugly depravity has changed her character remarkably. Quite frankly, today she resembles a witch and a whore. Their children all appear to be rebels. Their sin has affected others as well. It has caused division among their friends and their family. It all started with pornography and a strip club. We have ministered at many porn shops over the years. We have talked with their owners and their patrons. It is a great evil festering in our subculture. Sodomy, pedophilia, adultery, fornication, and rape are but manifestations of pornography and strip clubs. Many of those involved with themselves abused. Perverted sex, perverted sex education in schools, teachers, pastors, and priests molesting children is a direct result of pornography. Chris Hansen's program, To Catch a Predator, revealed a wide array of men preying on young girls and boys in Internet chat rooms. Working with local police, sting operations have netted teachers, doctors, lawyers, judges, legislators, and others preying on little boys and girls. Sex tourism to poor third world nations is rampant. WikiLeaks exposed a network of pedophiles in Pizzagate. Pizza is a code word for a young boy or girl. The Russians are blamed for hacking and exposing emails which cost Hillary Clinton her election. Reported Russian involvement is a diversion to get the public's attention on who is behind the hack rather than the content of the emails. People in the highest offices of our land, as well as foreign governments and dignitaries, are directly involved in human sex trafficking. Undocumented migrants and refugees are among those exploited for deviant sex, torture, and snuff films. Many in high office are being blackmailed to cooperate because of their own involvement. Every once in a while, someone is exposed to teach others to keep quiet. Pornography also leads to kidnapping of children. In 2012, near Waterloo, Iowa, two cousins, Elizabeth Collins, 8, and Lyric Cook, 10, were kidnapped and murdered. Waterloo, Iowa has an annual gay pride event we minister at, which is rife with sex perverts. As families are decimated by divorce, fatherless children become prey to men like Foxhole Strip Club owner Tom George. Thank God for men like P's Bill Dunphy and friends of New Beginnings Church who fearlessly and steadfastly stand against this great evil.
A lot is just unbelievable there, how deep and dark the darkness is. And it's so important that if you are convicted out there of your sin, that you know it is not hopeless. If you turn to the Lord Jesus Christ and you tell him you repent of these evils and you ask him to forgive you and to save you, he will. Their March newsletter, the Holmans, again mentioned that they were at this Operation Save America's leadership meeting, and they talked again about the 8 states that are down, that are abortion-free: Kentucky, Mississippi, Missouri, North Dakota, South Dakota, Wyoming, Arkansas, and Virginia, and they're down to one last surgical death pit, I guess. Those are the 8 ones that are down to the last one. And so now they got on to another topic there in Kentucky. Friday morning, February 3rd, we met with Kentucky Governor Mike Bibben. Governor Bibben is a newly elected, unabashed Christian who won his support by supporting Rowan County Clerk Kim Davis over her refusal to issue Kentucky marriage licenses to same-sex couples. The previous governor supported same-sex marriage. Former Kentucky State Representative Tom Reiner also addressed us. God is directing Operation Save America to prepare for battle and for an increase. We are preparing for an increase of support and influence over the hearts and minds of the people. We prepare to contend with murderers at EMW Surgical Clinic. EMW's abortionist, Tanya Franklin, and I would note that she is an African American by her picture, which is really sad. I'm interjecting that, Elizabeth Cavalli, because it's her people who are really in pretty much of a genocide. The New World Order doesn't like them. They would like to get rid of them. We never did comment upon the story that Oprah Winfrey was in February, and we will bring that back to talk about that. The African-American woman whose cells were commandeered by the New World Order, by medical, quote, science, they seemed to be eternal cells that they could use, and they used them, I think, to help make the polio vaccine. But at the whole time, this was without her knowledge, without her family's knowledge, and the family just struggled to survive. So it shows us we're at the mercy of the New World Order, and if we don't stand up now, what will it be like for your children and grandchildren, whether you're white or black or oriental? But anyway, this abortionist, Tanya Franklin, is on the staff at the University of Louisville Outpatient Center, located just a few blocks from EMW. OSA's activities included a prophetic witness at the UL Hospital, at two of Louisville's largest public schools, and at EMW Surgical Clinic. Though EMW is zealously guarded by death squads, that's an interesting new word that's coined. It's like escort, you see, but it's death squad. It is more vulnerable to closing than most death camps. EMW's main entrance is on a public sidewalk. A white line drawn on the sidewalk near the building is the only separation between us and them. Street parking is an additional witness for sign-bearing vehicles such as ours and Operation Save America's vehicle driven by Johnny Burkeen, pictured left. Johnny is recently announcing he is following Ron Brock's example of ministering full-time. The University of Louisville Hospital security were visibly shaken and taken aback by our presence on the public sidewalk. Our message was directed at the public and to their patients and staff. We should be surprised if the hospital invests much capital in keeping Franklin on their staff. We expect a moral uprising by physicians who are besmirched by Franklin's dark medical arts. We also expect others to rise up and push hospital administration for Franklin's dismissal. And they had a flyer that said, did you know the University of Louisville Outpatient Center employs abortionists? And they had a few little blurbs. Do you trust your health care to a place that hires murderers? Do you like your money being spent to support abortion? We are pleasantly surprised how God is preparing the way for us in this endeavor. We have seen an unusual outpouring of support from influential people. This can be bad as well as wonderful. People with selfish motives can and often do exploit moves of God for their purposes. We must be watchful to expose any practices like that when and where they occur. There are many Christmongers in the church and baby mongers in the pro-life movement. We must be on guard continually as we regain power and influence in representing Christ and the babies to the community. Operation Save America's Ante Pavkovich is pictured preaching outside EMW. Ante uses a dual speaker sound system, which plays soft music while he and others preach. He has used this sound system at many different venues across the country. Death squads and baby savers straddle the thin white line on a sidewalk, allowing for pedestrian traffic flow. This arrangement allows for plenty of interaction with death squads who get no small dose of the gospel of Jesus Christ and stern warnings of the roaring fires of hell patiently awaiting them. Some of the death squads appear tender and reachable, yet most are reprobates. All are admonished for their roles in the murders of innocent children. Iowa City Planned Parenthood. We often see school staff escorting students for abortions. February 22, 2017, an elderly white woman, likely a teacher, brought in a young Oriental woman, likely a student, to Planned Parenthood, quote, for tests, she said. The teacher ragged on me for being a man telling women what to do with their bodies. They are likely an abortion appointment. They were inside for over 3 hours. It is unlikely the parents know what is done behind their backs. Title IX, quote, requires institutions to provide leave for at least as long as a student's doctor says it is medically necessary for pregnancy, childbirth, abortion, or related conditions, including recovery. Our educational and legal systems are hopelessly broke. Any attempt to fix them is putting a Band-Aid on a sucking chest wound. Then they show a picture. This couple left is from India. They are Hindu. They are unmarried students. Their baby is a mistake in their eyes, but not in God's economy. He tells me they are not ready for children. Her pregnancy brings shame and dishonor to both of their families. Murdering this child is to them the best option. I told them, ready or not, you have a child. The honorable thing for you to do is to marry the mother of your child. It appeared that the mother of their baby was the most willing to kill the child. We gave their baby the first and the last act of love he or she will experience in this world. This couple left is from Guatemala. They appeared to be sad for what they were about to do. I spent about an hour talking with Khalid, a devout Shiite Muslim from Iraq. Khalid's wife has a high-risk pregnancy due to varicose veins formed inside of her uterus. They believe her medical condition is due to depleted uranium left by our troops. Khalid's wife went inside of Planned Parenthood while we talked. After some time of reasoning with him, Khalid agreed that what they are doing is murder. His religion allows him to choose what he considers the lesser evil. God commands, thou shalt not kill. The devil tempts us with lesser evils instead of complete obedience to God's will. Proverbs 3, 5, 6, those who follow the one true God trust and obey his ways rather than rely on their own perception. Khalid has three children at home. I asked if he would murder any of them to lessen the risk to his wife. He claims that she is 2 weeks pregnant, which is probably not true. He believes their baby is little more than a clump of cells. He agreed after our discussion that a person is fully a person, no matter how small. We both agree that Islam and Christianity cannot both be true. We spent considerable time discussing which religion is true. I showed him a 3-minute video on my phone by a former Muslim who uses the Quran to demonstrate that Jesus is the creator. Khalid seems intellectually honest, and though it is too late for their son and daughter, or daughter, we exchanged phone numbers and agreed to meet again. Perhaps God will use this as a way to reach other Muslims in Iowa City, Iowa. Iowa City prides itself as being a sanctuary city for illegal immigrants. There are many Muslims in Iowa City. A decade or two from now, Muslims will likely dominate Iowa City. Such is God's judgment on cities and nations that are in rebellion to him. Deuteronomy 28. So do we see, Lou, the constant upheaval as Satan's kingdom tries to push God's kingdom down?
We certainly do. We just see that constantly as the culture gets more and more away from God, the results are obvious. Disruption. Abortion, murder, crimes, just all kinds of pandemonium going on. And it's quite clear that this is a large result of a lack of religion and the stability that religion brings to man.
We see the Christian worldview fading. Even in my little college that was formed as a Christian college, they were going to have some alumni get-togethers, and one of the discussions that they could go to was the Wonder Baby. The New Testament tells us that the prophecy was fulfilled in the supposedly virgin birth of Jesus. This class examines what Isaiah thought his prophecy meant in a fascinating way. It was repurposed for the story of Jesus. There's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of disbelief. But the true way is Jesus Christ, who came to save us for eternal life from our sins. We hope that you will tell others about the divided kingdom. May the Lord bless you and heal you, whatever your needs are in your life. He will do it if you make him first. Good night.